Welcome to Through the Corporate Glass, a podcast that explores career choices. Welcome to another episode of Through the Corporate Glass. I'm your host, Ashwini. What role can open source play in career development? How does one contribute to and create new open source projects? How do you build a community around the open source project? We chat with Ben Pfaff, principal researcher at VMware Research, to explore these questions. Ben is a systems researcher focused on software-defined networking. He was one of the first employees at Nicera Networks in 2007 after completing his PhD at Stanford. And he founded and led the development of Open vSwitch and OVN, which are foundational and, you know, very popular open source projects. He continued with VMware and joined the VMware Research Group. He contributed to the OpenFlow and P4 specifications and is a senior member of ACM and a fellow of the Open Networking Foundation. He's been a free and open source software developer since 1995 and as a contributor to Debian and GNU. He also runs a podcast called the OBS Orbit that I'm a huge fan of for all of the systems discussions over there. Welcome to our podcast, Ben, and thank you so much for making time for us.
I'm happy to be here.
Fantastic. I'd love to hear a little bit about your journey that led to Nicera.
Well, gosh, it's hard to figure out exactly how far to go back. But I guess talking about my grad school experience is probably a good place to start. I found myself at Stanford in 2001. The way I got there was by writing a lot of software and using that to sort of teach myself computer science. I managed to parlay that experience into making it into grad school. When I got there, to be honest, I didn't really know what research was or what I was supposed to do good research. What I knew was that I really liked to write software. And it turns out that building software can be a part of research. It's just not the main part. And it took me a couple of years to really figure out how to combine the couple of things. And then when I was graduating in 2007, I knew that I wanted to do something that would involve writing big pieces of software. I knew that I'd been working on free and open source software for such a long time that I wanted that to be part of it. I talked to three or four different companies, and some of them were research labs, some of them were for-profit software development companies. And Nicera, the startup that was started by some of my colleagues at Stanford and a professor from Berkeley, it just seemed like the most likely place where I'd be able to build something brand new and probably make it open source. So that was where I ended up.
That's fantastic to hear. The fact that you were able to marry software development with research and then how beautifully it played into Nicera. Nicera was a huge paradigm shift in the networking world, introducing software-defined networks. I'd love to hear how the Open vSwitch project was actually founded.
Open vSwitch grew out of a couple of things. One is OpenFlow, and OpenFlow was something that Nicera was already involved in from the beginning. It was really about specifying something that could be used to control switch hardware with software sort of as an afterthought. After we'd been working at Nicera for a while, what we figured out was that trying to control hardware was going to be a really difficult path because the hardware manufacturers weren't necessarily that interested in software being able to control their software at a detailed level because they were pretty satisfied with what their hardware could already do, and it was difficult to make them see where they'd get additional value in making software able to control it in more detail. So we kind of took a different path. We said, what if we focus on software? What if instead of trying to change the center of the network where the hardware is, what if we just change the edge of the network? And if we just change the edge of the network, the servers on that edge of the network, the hypervisors, then we can do that without any assistance from the hardware manufacturers. And that was really where Open vSwitch was born, the idea behind it, where our goal was to build something that could integrate with your hardware, with your software, so that you could produce something that was, it was more powerful. It would let you route around some of the limitations of the hardware in pretty literal ways.
There's definitely a level of flexibility and control that is completely different and game changing. How did you decide to make it open source?
Oh, well, we made it open source because we wanted it to run anywhere. The whole idea that we had as a business with Nasira was to sell people controllers that would allow people to do with their networks what they really wanted. But a controller isn't worth anything if it doesn't have anything to control. And so the more things that Nasira controllers could control, the more valuable the controller software. So if you sort of take that to its logical conclusion, you make the switch software, Open vSwitch, free, and you make it useful enough that the people will want to take it and port it to whatever environment they have. And then they can use it for all the cool stuff that you can do with Open vSwitch. And if you look, people have done that. You know, many controllers, commercial ones, but also if you go to, say, Google Scholar, you'll find that there are thousands of research papers where people have cited Open vSwitch. So anyway, people find it valuable to use Open vSwitch, and so they port it everywhere, and then Nasira can sell them a controller to do things that are useful from a business case.
And I think that worked out brilliantly because the Open vSwitch is the de facto software switch implementation right now in the industry. But this must have been super difficult initially, I'm guessing, because it's a paradigm shift. People need to somehow buy into the idea and then also buy into trying the Open vSwitch to figure out whether it's useful or not. How did you navigate these problems?
Oh, that wasn't easy, like you said. So our initial strategy was to take Open vSwitch to the number two virtualization vendor, which was Citrix at the time, and say, you know, VMware has this exciting software, their virtual distributed switch, but you don't have anything like that. What if we build something like that, that you can sell to your customers? And there's only one catch: that virtualization software that they want to use, you have to integrate Open vSwitch into your product so that we can actually control it, which is a perfectly fair proposition. And Citrix picked up on it. That also enabled us to sell Citrix customers a different controller that we had that did more advanced things than the equivalent of the VMware software that we were building for Citrix itself. Mm-hmm. So there were a few moving parts to that, but it all worked out.
And I know the OVS project itself has evolved by leaps and bounds. It started as a kernel module, and now it's completely in the user space, and it's potentially in a smart NIC very soon. I know that the open source contributions have been significant in the past 10 years or so, but I wonder how you went about it initially, because given that there's so much of a shift in thinking, and it's shifting from a networking problem-solving approach to a distributed systems approach. How did you convey this through the open source project? How did you get the community to understand it?
Sure. So first of all, there might be an assumption in your question that there was an open source OVS and there was some other proprietary version, because a lot of people had that idea at first. It's not true. There was only ever one Open vSwitch. We had a few branches inside Nasira that were different from the open source version, but in fact, they were the open source version, except we held back a few of the features that we considered a little more risky that were in the open source version, because we wanted something that was rock solid stable. And so we would apply bug fixes, but we might hold back a feature or two until it had really been proven in the outside world. And then eventually we would, when the next version of OVS came out, we would just jump forward to that. So yeah, but the part of your question can also be interpreted as, so how did we get outsiders to start contributing to this?
Right.
So that is something where I think a lot of people assume that this is quick or that it's easy. it definitely was not quick or easy for us. And I don't think that people should assume that it's going to be quick or easy for their open source project. If you go back to the early days of Open vSwitch, the first few years after we made it public and started accepting contributions, I think that was around 2009, you'll find that there is a very small percentage, a single digit, maybe say 3% of commits that came from email addresses that weren't at Nasira.com. And that there's many reasons for that. One is that at first, there's no real reason for somebody to adopt your project unless it really one of their needs that they have immediately. And so if it doesn't, they'll probably just go away. You don't have a lot of committed user base that's going to submit bug fixes, that's going to submit features. And then over time, when people have already decided that they're going to use it and they're already using it and it just doesn't quite fit their use case, then of course they're going to submit some patches back. Another reason is simply that Open vSwitch is not something simple. It's not easy to get involved with it. And that's natural because it's low-level networking and there's a lot of prerequisites before you can make a useful contribution. You have to know C, you have to know how packets work. You have to know how to interface with the kernel and things like that. And it's not written in a user-friendly language like Python or JavaScript. And then over time, as it started being integrated into things, we started getting contributions. At first, they were small, and then they grew. That's sort of the natural progress of free and open source software projects.
What did you think were the main drivers for the success of Open vSwitch? If you were to answer this in hindsight, of course.
Yeah. So I think one of the important things that drove Open vSwitch's success was that it entered a niche that hadn't been filled. Yeah. We have a file in the repository for Open vSwitch that's titled something like, why OVS? You know, why use it? And a big one there is that before OVS, there was no programmatic way to control how networking worked at that level of detail in Linux or indeed in other operating systems that I know about. If you wanted to do some of the custom things that you can do quite easily with OVS, you would have had to write your own packet processing software from scratch. Some of the alternatives were things like on Linux using IP tables. IP tables it's programmable in one sense, but it doesn't have a friendly interface. And there were a few other options, but none of them were that much better. They weren't necessarily designed for performance. They weren't necessarily portable, and they didn't tend to have a group of professional developers behind them, supporting them, improving them, and so on.
I think that's a great distinction in terms of identifying a gap that it's actually filling in. I also wanted to ask you about the vision for the Open vSwitch and how it gets shaped or altered based on the kind of contributions you receive or the feature requests that you receive from the open source community. Does that end up changing focus, or how do you actually prioritize and pick where the project should head?
Well, so there's a couple of ways to look at that. One way is that some things that people bring to a project are really just things that you can see as features. And sometimes those features are ones that easily fit into the envelope of the project, the shape of the project. When you add them in, if you start with something streamlined, then you end up with something streamlined at the end. And it still makes sense. It still all fits together into a coherent whole. Those are the ones that are really easy to accept. And then sometimes you come along with somebody who has something that's really disruptive, or you look at it as a developer and you say, This is kind of an ugly bag on the side, that this is going to cause trouble for future developers to understand it, to maintain it. And I'm not confident that these developers who are contributing it are going to stick around and make sure over the long haul that it's going to work. So those are some of the things that come up if we're just talking about, you know, someone shows up with some code and hands it to you and says, I would like this in Open vSwitch. You naturally get new developers over time from different organizations with different goals. For example, in Open vSwitch, it was initially mostly Nasira. Then over time, we added the developers from other organizations. We had developers from eBay, we had developers from NVIDIA. And more than anything else, over time, we gained a lot of developers from Red Hat. Red Hat shares some of the goals that Nicira had and has different goals. And as those developers integrate into the project, of course, their goals and their experiences and their ways of working start to integrate into the project. And so you can see a shift over time as that sort of thing happens. It's an evolution. Did I answer the question that you were trying to pose?
Absolutely. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I think in general for open source projects, testing or performance benchmarking is particularly challenging. Essentially because the open source project could run in very different environments. And since the deployment is not actually controlled, it might end up posing different challenges in different environments. I'm wondering how you dealt with this in the OVS context.
Oh, this is a super hard question, and I don't have a super good answer. If you look at OVS, it's very general. I tend to think of it as almost like a compiler. It's sort of like saying, how fast is the code that GCC generates? Except you're saying, how fast is the networking that the OVS implements? And so the answer for GCC is, what's the program that you care about? And what's the data that you're feeding that program? And similarly, the question is, what is the flow table that you care about? And what sort of traffic are you running through that flow table? And so every user cares about a different application, cares about a different flow table, and cares about different traffic. You can't come up with a general purpose, this is how fast OVS is, but you can say, you know, how fast is it for my particular application? You'll see that developers who are working on DPDK might test it in a particular configuration. So everyone has to do their own benchmarks. And when they come to you and say, I've got a patch that makes it faster, you have to say, in what case, show me your numbers.
Yeah, I think that's a particularly challenging piece for open source project. So what would you think is the role of open source in career development in general? I know this is like a super open-ended question, but intentionally so, because I'd love to hear your thoughts on how it shapes careers.
A big part of it is that with open source, you've got a kind of public resume that you can show off to people. And that works well both ways. You can show off to people, and people who are looking for employees to work on something can look at who already works on it and try to recruit them. I think that it's of some benefit from those points of view. On the other hand, there are a lot of people who don't work on open source as part of their jobs, and they might not have time to work on it in their spare time because of other interests or other obligations. And so I would really push back against what I've heard from some people who say that they wouldn't hire people who don't work on open source and don't have that sort of thing. That's the wrong direction to go as well.
It's a fantastic learning tool as well. I kind of look at OVS as a resource to just learn operating systems and look through the Raft implementation, for instance. It's great to have a resource like that, which is just available.
Oh, I'm glad that that's a good resource. I feel bad that I had to write a Raft implementation at all, because it seemed to me at the time that it would have been much better if I just had a database that I could just use instead of having to write one. But in retrospect, it worked out okay, and it seems like it's been a reasonable contribution, and I think it works out pretty well in OVN contexts.
Absolutely. I'm also wondering, just like people joining a big organization and trying to find their way around legacy code, joining or trying to understand a mature open source project could be a similar experience. Do you have any tips for folks who are, you know, trying to dabble with, let's say, the Open vSwitch project today and how they should go about it?
Yeah. So first of all, my recommendation is always to work on something where you have a problem that you want to solve. I get the question from people sometimes who come to me and say, hey, I like your project X, where that's Open vSwitch or something else that I built. what should I do? And I always find that to be a pretty alien question. That's not the way I work personally. If I'm going to go work on a project, it's because there's something I need to get done or I want to get done. I don't find it very easy to, without any real motivation, just work. So first of all, start with a problem that you really want to solve when it comes to OVS. And then be prepared to read a lot of code. When I'm approaching some new project, large project, and trying to make some change to it, I spend hours just reading the code using analysis tools. I think the more modern approach is to use IDEs that can jump between symbols and their definitions. I'm still kind of old school. I tend to use things like tags and grep to find my way around. But either way, read a lot of code, be prepared to do some experiments. I'm a big fan of inserting logging statements or printfs that just log the file name and the line number of where it is, and then provide some input and see what gets logged, see whether my hypothesis about what's happening is really real. I know that a lot of people prefer debuggers. That makes a lot of sense too. It doesn't work quite as well with networking stuff because for a couple of reasons, but it does with a lot of software. So be prepared to read a lot of code. Be sure to look around and see if there's documentation. Like with OVS, we have put in quite a bit of high-level documentation in terms of these are the components and these are how they fit together, in terms of this is how you use it and a reference manual and configuration information. In addition, once you've done all that and you're still stuck, don't hesitate to reach out to people who might know something. Personally, when I get a question about OVS or another project that I work on, I try to use those questions to figure out where is my documentation lacking, and I try to go back and improve it. If you look at the first several years of Open vSwitch, a lot of my replies to questions on the mailing list were actually in the form of patches that added new FAQ entries. And I personally find that to be a pretty helpful response when I'm asking questions about other projects as well.
That's definitely a great approach and great insight. Do you have any parting thoughts, Ben, for our listeners?
Well, I think that my advice on open source is pretty similar to what I was saying a minute ago, that you should find a place where you want something that isn't there, and then work to make that happen. If it's little, just write it up and dash it off to the project. If it's big, have a discussion. Sometimes it turns out that what you want is there and you just don't know about it, or maybe there's another project that would be more suitable. But follow your interests and see where that takes you.
Thank you so much, Ben. Thanks for this fantastic interview. It was great uncovering the world of open source with you.
All right. Thank you for talking to me. I enjoyed it very much.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to our podcast. If you enjoyed our episode, do subscribe to the podcast and check out our show notes, which provide more information on the topics discussed during the episode. Please follow us on LinkedIn at Through the Corporate Glass and on Twitter at Corporate Glass and share your thoughts. We'd love to hear from you. You can also check out our website, throughthecorporateglass.com.